Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got a great show today, all about voting in a pandemic. Later, we'll be joined by top election officials to answer your questions about the process, how and when ballots are counted, and more. And in a moment, we'll hear perspectives on the importance of voting by mail to both Democrats and Republicans in Illinois. But first, we want to briefly update you on a story we talked about Monday on the 21st. It was about the saliva-based COVID testing program at the University of Illinois. This week, we learned it's working in one way and perhaps not in another. According to my Illinois public media colleagues, Christine Herman and Lee Gaines, about 1,000 University of Illinois students have tested positive for COVID-19 on the Urbana campus since mid-August. Now, U of I researchers previously predicted about 700 cases for the entire semester, so we're already way above that. Officials say a few students who threw parties and ignored directives to quarantine or isolate after they tested positive, they caused super spreader events leading to the increase in cases. CU public health epidemiologist Awais Vaid says there's no evidence students have infected people outside the campus community, and the infections are clustered in 10 to 15 locations.
There are dormitories, Greek houses, that have more than 10% of their residents that are currently positive.
In response to this, U of I officials have imposed a 2-week restriction on student movement. The chancellor says students who do not comply will face immediate suspension. Meanwhile, critics of the university, including on the faculty, say this type of behavior among some of the 18 to 22-year-olds on campus was entirely predictable, and that for all the work on the chemistry and statistical modeling of the testing program, the university did not sufficiently consider these behavioral human factors and its plans for the fall semester, like that students would ignore quarantine orders, for example. I want to make one other note on that Monday conversation and a quick correction. According to the university's own preliminary studies, the COVID-19 test has an 11% false negative rate. During the show, I was riffing on the potential number of false negative tests that could be based on that rate, and I ended up way overstating it. The correct way to think of it is like this. If 10,000 tests are analyzed in a place with an infection rate of about 1%, that would mean 100 people are infected. The U of I test would be expected to correctly identify 89 of them as positive cases, while 11%, 11 people, would be given false negative results. So that's 11 missed cases out of 10,000, not the much higher number I said. So, with that correction said, despite that mistake and the subsequent developments, it was still a really interesting conversation. If you want to hear that or any of our other past shows, you can always find them on our podcast feed. Just search for The 21st on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, on to voting. I want to begin by getting the political lay of the land for how important vote by mail is. And I wanted to bring bipartisan perspectives to this conversation. So joining me to talk about this are Quentin Folks. He was deputy campaign manager for Governor J.B. Pritzker's election in 2018. And this year, he's running the group called Vote Yes for Fairness. It's working to convince voters to approve the graduated income tax constitutional amendment this November. Quentin, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Also here is State Representative Mark Batnick. He's a Republican from Plainfield, also serves as the GOP's floor leader during House debates, and he has an interesting story to tell about the role of vote by mail in one of his recent campaigns for office. Representative Batnick, welcome to you as well. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
And listeners, as ever, you're invited to join our conversation. If you have questions about vote by mail, we're going to be taking those a little later in the hour. Right now, we're focusing on sort of the bipartisan views on the importance of vote by mail in general and in 2020 in particular. The phones are open at 800-222-9455. The number again, 800-222-9455. Quentin, I'd like to begin with you. Can you talk about how important vote by mail was to Democratic campaigns in 2018?
It was extremely important to us in 2018. Anytime that you can get people to vote from the comfort of their home and make the Democratic process easier for voters is always a good thing. I believe the numbers were around 400,000 people, requested ballots. So it's about 9%, a little over 9% of the individuals who voted in 2018 in the midterm, which was a good number. And obviously, you know, now we're seeing even higher numbers of people requesting mail-in ballots. So, you know, these are all good things for, you know, just democracy in general. But, you know, as you alluded to at the top of the segment, you know, we're in the middle of a global pandemic. And so anything that we can do to make voting easier for individuals that don't have to leave their home is always a good thing.
You know, and I think, you know, those of us who've covered politics for a long time are used to thinking of election day as being a finite day. But we're really in Illinois now. We have a whole election month, if not even longer, right? Where, I mean, campaigns are reaching out to voters very early and trying to get them to mail in ballots and sort of helping them with the process. Can you talk? How does that work from a campaign perspective? Where do you get the lists of voters to reach out to, that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, from a campaign perspective, everything that you do is kind of from a targeted approach, to be completely honest. And you want to communicate with voters, you know, who are supportive of your, you know, initiative. And this, you know, the unique challenge that I have or the unique aspect that I have is that, you know, I'm talking about an issue, not a candidate. And it's not just a straight, you know, Democratic thing or a Republican thing. It's a statewide thing, you know, that we feel is best for the fiscal stability of the state moving forward. And so that's why we're pushing it. So we are talking to Democrats and Republicans, which is a bit, you know, unusual for most campaigns, as they're normally only targeting, you know, one segment of voters. For us, just getting as many people to vote and decide on, you know, the fair tax question, as well as a lot of other things, you know, the fate of the, you know, United States, who's going to be the next president is on the ballot. And regardless of where you fall on that, you know, we at Vote Yes for Fairness believe that it's important for you to get your perspective out and your vote out. And so we're communicating with everyone to make sure we're bringing as many people into the process as possible. However, you know, doing so, you do bump up Election Day. You know, most people say Election Day, November 3rd, I'm going to do it. The reality is that ballots begin being mailed out, you know, September 24th. And the responsible thing for people to do is to fill it out as soon as they get it and put it back in the mailbox. And so, you know, when you're talking about communicating with voters, it's really important that you've communicated your message as effectively as you can, or have at least gotten in front of voters to educate them on, you know, your candidate or your issue. In my case, it's the fair tax and why we believe it's the best thing for Illinois. But it does kind of shorten your election period. And so
we are
making a heavy push to talk to voters up front so that we can make sure that when they do get their mail-in ballots as early as September 24th, that they, you know, vote yes for it.
All right. So that's what's going on this year. Representative Batnick, I want to dial back again to 2018. You have a fairly unique story, I think, among Illinois Republicans. Can you talk about what were you expecting by way of vote by mail assistance from the party operation heading into the 2018 election?
And, sure. We had been promised a vote by mail operation, and it didn't appear. And I know the importance, as Quentin does, about if you're running a campaign and vote by mail is allowed, if one side is using it and you're not using it, you're at a great disadvantage. So it was, boy, it was past mid-October when I realized that the vote by mail program was not going to show up. And I just couldn't sleep that night. And I quickly put together my own, you know, the framework for my own vote by mail system to encourage my supporters to vote by mail. And I think that made a really big difference in the last election, where some of the similar reps with similar districts were losing late vote by mail, you know, as much as 70 to 30. I was losing at 54-46. So I didn't necessarily win the vote by mail, but because I was willing to participate in it, I didn't lose by as much as what everybody was losing by. And that in turn, you know, gave me enough of a buffer by winning Election Day fairly handily that I was able to squeak out a victory. So it's, I put it like this, if vote by mail is going to be allowed, it's kind of like, in football, there's passing and there's running. If passing is allowed, you should throw the ball because that's part of the game. And in the last election in 2018, it's like the Republicans only ran the ball. They didn't run and pass. Democrats, you know, used the whole playbook, and it certainly showed in the election results that were, you know, finalized.
Yeah, and there were a lot of Republicans in the suburbs who did not come through as well, and you ended up winning, what was it, by 590 votes out of more than 44,000 cast? That's a little more than 1%.
You do your homework well, 590 votes, that's correct.
So, I mean, do you, and again, I know that there's a million things that go into every campaign, and I know you've credited your campaign staff in the past, but I mean, how much of a difference do you think vote by mail made in your, you know, ongoing political career?
Yeah, I'm not on this phone call if I didn't participate in it. You know, if I didn't recognize that was a something that needed to be done, I wouldn't be a state rep today. So The Dems did a great job of it. You know, Quentin, hats off to you. But we at least need to participate. And often that's one of the things that I struggle with some of my colleagues is that I like talking to Democrats. I like talking to liberals. I like going to areas that maybe Republicans don't go to. And the same applies with different techniques, you know, addressing the vote by mail. We need to reach out and branch out more as Republicans to get our message to a wider audience.
What about this year? Are you on your own again? Is the party stepping up this year on the Republican side?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the difference between 2018 and 2020 has an extremely is going to have a high turnout because it's a presidential election. The higher their turnout, the less impact GOTVing your voters through vote by mail has. So I've participated in very low turnout, you know, 10-11% consolidated elections, which are your local elections. There's one coming in April 2021. Some people don't even know that it happened. So it's not as much of a focus in my campaign this time as it was last time. The other thing that we have going is we kind of have the crosswinds from the president, who I think is making a big mistake by discouraging vote by mail. You're essentially discouraging people from banking ballots early, which is bad for down ballot Republicans like me. So it's a little bit of a mixed message coming from the top. I'm disappointed by that. I just have to deal with it and encourage people to either vote early or vote on election day. So it's a little bit of a different animal this time than it's been in the past.
Yeah.
I think there is intensity on both sides in this election. So I think you're going to see a higher turnout either way. Probably the biggest concern for people waiting to election day now is if there's some sort of spike up in cases that's going to discourage people from going to the polls, or once again, if there's a weather event, right? So
right.
If the weather's bad at the beginning of November, which can certainly happen in Chicago, you're not going to get as much of an election day bump as what your opponent may has been able to rack up over the weeks and months before the election. So it's a dangerous move that the president's doing, and I thoroughly disagree with it.
And I want to come back to President Trump in a minute. And we only have, unfortunately, about 4 minutes left in this conversation. But Quentin, you mentioned you're reaching out to people on both sides of the political spectrum. I've certainly heard from Democratic households that if they say they've gotten 3 and 4, you know, applications, which is, again, this is legal. These are not ballots or anything. You're just helping people, you know, fill out the form they need to mail in to request a ballot. Are you, you know, Are you doing, is this a part of it? You have to nudge? How many times do you have to nudge people to get them to actually take action?
Normal political nomenclature says, you know, you have to talk to a voter, communicate with a voter, depending on the medium, 7 to 10 times for your message to sink in. And whether that's digital or television or, you know, texting, calling, whatever it may be. And it can be a little annoying to voters, I know. You know, to date, we've sent out a few applications. And then also we have a website set up called IllinoisVotes2020.com that voters can go to. Some of the mailings just tell or inform voters about that website. You know, one, we're dealing with a bit of a not a tricky situation. It's a helpful one. But the state sent ballots or actual applications to voters who voted in the past 3 elections. So the 19 municipal, the 2018 midterm. And then the primary in 20, and any voter that registered to vote up to July 31st of this year, the state automatically sent those voters applications. And so, you know, one, that has tremendously helped. We've seen the numbers coming in that are being reported from the State Board of Elections about the number of people requesting mail-in ballots. So that has helped. And so we're just kind of doubling up and making sure that it's a nudge. It is a great thing that the state of Illinois has allowed this. And I do hope that in the future we can see something that's more permanent. I know that this was a special circumstance because of COVID and to make sure that this election went off safe. But hopefully, you know, as Representative Batnick has said, I hope that legislators see the benefit of vote by mail after this is over and see the participation from vote by mail, and that this can become a permanent thing in the state of Illinois. Lots of states do this all over. And I do think that it should become a permanent thing in Illinois. But, you know, we are taking that extra step to make sure that people see it. The reality is people get these things. They come out of the mailbox. They end up on a kitchen counter table. They get water spilt on them. So, you know, I think as many times as you can help the process, it helps to make sure that they get returned.
All right. And do you, I mean, we heard Representative Batnick a moment ago talking in about 30 seconds, I'm afraid. So maybe just a few sentences, but we heard Representative Batnick saying that, you know, President Trump's repeatedly calling into question the integrity of voting by mail, maybe not helpful to Republicans this year. Do you think there's some advantage for Democrats in that, or does this hurt the entire process to have these mixed messages coming out of Washington?
You know, the president sets the tone, and unfortunately, you know, I don't think that President Trump is setting the right tone on vote by mail. In fact, he's not setting the right tone on vote by mail. I don't think it gives Democrats an advantage. I think it's a hurdle just for much for us as it is for Representative Batnick to have to overcome that narrative to make people not afraid to you know, put ballots or applications back in the mail. And I do want to take a second and thank, you know, Postal Service workers and county clerks who have to go out in the middle of a pandemic to make sure that these ballots and applications are being delivered, and the clerks for being in their office, mm-hmm. accepting them, counting them and making sure. So, you know, I don't think it gives Democrats an advantage. I think we still have to overcome that and make people know that, you know, the post office is going to make sure.
Yeah, and we have to leave it there. Quentin Foulkes is with Vote Yes for Fairness. State Representative Mark Batnick is a Republican from Plainfield. Thank you so much for being with us this morning here on the 21st. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey. Fulfilling dreams since 1868.